Good morning. This is Ani, and this is Positively Revolting. It's the talk radio show that encourages you to, you know, take positive action to turn things over and make the world right again. We are most pleased to be joined this morning with Lou Chain, who's the promotions director from Wee Moon. And by phone, we have Barb, the Wee Moonager. Hello, Barb. We'll have Barb up in just a moment. And I want to let you know, it's about 8:05 in the morning, and you are tuned to your community radio station. This is KBOO, your very own community radio station, where, in fact, we dive deep to bring you all manner of information, currents, cultural events, music, news, and community. That's what we dish up, especially here on Friday mornings. I have to say that I'm missing my co-host, Lynn, who's off exploring the wilds of family or the wilds of, I'm not sure, but I'm sure it's wild knowing Lynn. And We wish her well this week as she's off on a big adventure. But for those of us left behind, we are excited to be discussing the Wee Moon calendar and the Mother Tongue Inc. Publishing, which is actually the business, the publishing house that brings us the Wee Moon calendar. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
So I'm very excited, and I guess I'm also feeling my age, to hear that the Wee Moon Datebook Calendar Astrological Reference Guide is approaching its 30th anniversary right about now.
Indeed we are, yes. We began in 1981, so this is our 2011 is our 30th edition.
So 3 decades of providing something as simple as a datebook. And yet, it's not simple at all.
Not at all. No, it's a wide collaboration of women's art and writing from all over the world, collaborated here in Oregon. And it's, yes, it's chock full of astrological information and inspiration and, yeah, you name it.
You know, how most people, you know, you get a calendar and you have a lot of blank spots and you write down all of the busyness that you do. And that's it. You know, it might have some nice pictures. It's a little inspirational. You know, look, this one's got daisies. This one's got puppies. And not like I have anything against daisies and puppies. I love daisies and puppies. But sometimes I just want a little, you know, a little bit more. And so for the last, most of the last 20 years, I've actually used the Wee Moon calendar because it has so much information packed in it. And that's really, I think, what sets it apart. It's not like, oh, wow, I need this, and I'm going to keep track of all my appointments. That's handy for that as well. But I know that especially when I was working in a collective in women's community, I was totally dependent on the astrological information that it was providing to, like, figure out, was this a good time to set a meeting?
Exactly.
What's about to happen? Right. No, we don't want to do this on that day. Oh, my God, no. And so it was like a reference book that I would just add to with my own appointments. And so
exactly. It's wonderful for that. It's wonderful for kind of opening it up and seeing what's going on with the moon and what's going on with all the planets and, you know, is this a good time for this or that? But it's also great if you're not really an astrologer, because you can kind of, if you use it as a journal or, you know, that sort of thing, you can just see, you know, what trends come up in your own life with where's the moon and why am I feeling this way? And, oh, this happened with, you know, when the moon was in Virgo last time or whatever.
Right.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, to not only to actually use it and looking back at it, if you actually keep these for a few years mm-hmm. and see your own patterns and trends is, I found that to be kind of eye-opening. I was
yeah.
like, oh my God, I always have this huge emotional breakdown right around the full moon in Capricorn.
Exactly.
How did I know? You know, it's true. I do. If anyone, you know, knows me.
There's something comforting about knowing that, you know, Capricorn moon is going to mess you up, because then you can say, okay, it's coming and, you know, I can prepare for that. And I don't have to be an emotional wreck about it.
It's totally true. It has helped since I've identified the pattern. And, you know, to clarify, I am not an astrologer. I really don't know so much about that sort of thing. People often confuse me for an astrologer because I do follow moon cycles and I read tarot cards. But that's not the same thing. Though the information in this I do find always helpful.
Mm-hmm. I'm not an astrologer either, actually. So, hey, you know, we're even.
See, we're missing the astrologer in our midst. Lynn is an astrologer. Oh, well. We do have Barb with us on the line. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hi, Barb.
Hi.
So let's talk a little bit about the beginnings of the Wee Moon calendar. Lou brought in the first calendar to share with me this morning, and it's much smaller than the calendars we see now, than the date planners, I guess, to be more specific.
Yes.
And it's sort of a very rough print. It's two color and two color only. Can't really say black and white. It's sort of more of a purple and white. And it's interestingly printed. So there's plenty of room for notes, as pages were not exactly double-sided.
That's right.
Plenty of room for notes. I think we call that a design feature. And there's just an interesting layout where you're actually following a moon cycle through the year and not so much sort of the Gregorian calendar months are tucked off into the corners. And from that, If you, how did it first come about? Like, what was the process? It was like starting very closely with the Wee Moon land in Estacada.
Actually, surprisingly, ooh, no.
I lied.
A fun, exciting, and unexpected story. So it actually started in Denmark. There were, I guess, a handful of women, all from different countries, who spoke different languages, and they wanted a common language, so they used astrology as their shared language. They spoke in the mother tongue, as it were, which is where our company name came from. They created the first, actually, I guess what happened is there was a mining company that they were living on women's land in Denmark, and the mining company came in and bought the land, and so the women were scattered around and separated, and they created the first Wee Moon. They printed it in France, and it was a way for them to keep in touch with each other through astrology. So that's sort of the roots of it. And then Musawa, our founder, one of the founding women, came back to Oregon to her home and continued the book from there. And so it was, for many years, produced in Estacada on her land and on women's land.
I always appreciated the fact that it is a multilingual publication as well. Mm-hmm. And so here we are from the very beginning then.
Yes.
Bridging languages through visual arts and astrological information.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Barb, again, thank you for joining us. I'm looking at, you know, this 30-year history, and I'd love to talk about some highlights in that 30 years. There's been some turning points for sure, but also what things are happening now. It's not just the date book anymore.
It is not. No. That's true.
True.
Go ahead, Barb.
Well, we, as Lou mentioned, and you all mentioned, we have the date book and the wall calendar and cards and posters and a children's book, The Last Wild Witch, and our exciting release this year is the anthology. It's 30 years of Wee Moon, called In the Spirit of Wee Moon. And here we take a look at the 30-year history of Wee Moon, how it came about, and some really exciting events that happened with Wee Moon through the years. And we also get to take a look at different aspects of Wee Moon.
I have actually had some Wee Moon folk on this program before, and it was about, I'm thinking, 12 years ago or so, there was a fire that actually took out some of the, I think, archives of the Wee Moon, and there was a lot of community effort to rebuild and regroup after that. How, in that, was that sort of a turning point for folks, or did that fire all of a sudden, it's, in hindsight, yeah, it was one of those events, but not really?
It was definitely a profound event in Wee Moon history. Uh-huh. That year, the fire happened right during production time, and so all of the art and writing that had been gathered together, the original works, were burned, and so the collective memory of which pieces of art and writing were on each page had to be reassembled from women's memory. And that was...
And in record time, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah. And as Fire does, she really did a lot of cleanup around systems. They had to get real efficient. And I think it's, you know, as painful as that was, it was probably also a catalyst for some more amazing creation to come.
Fire does act as a catalyst so often.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, one of the things I have always valued about the Wee Moon date book, I mentioned, you know, as a follower of the moon and looking at moon cycles in my life, that's certainly one thing and certainly an important part. But the celebration of goddess-based spirituality, to have a calendar that instead of listing Secretary's Day, and Patriots Day, and, you know, whatever it is, Boss's Day. You know, I just saw Boss's Day listed on a mainstream calendar. I thought, wow, isn't that most of them? But instead of that, you have actually turning points of the year. You note significant events in the Earth-based spiritual cycle, and it's so refreshing to have a date book that actually honors my traditions. Hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, we do honor the solstices and the equinoxes. We honor the eclipses even.
Yes.
And we do have writing for each of the solstice and equinox, the holy days, we call them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, well, it's, you know, these are traditions that have been going on for a very long time and absolutely deserve to be honored and recognized. And,
and certainly they've gone on longer than, say, Boss's Day.
Exactly. So, yes. The 2011 book has all of our Holy Day writings are by Marna, and they're wonderful. Yeah, so there's it's just a little bit of poetry for each holy day. And, yeah, Barb, do you want to say anything about that?
Let me throw in a little bit more a question for you.
Okay.
That not only... And this is, I think, an important point for people that love non-traditional calendars, such as myself, that not only are you following the solar calendar, the, you know, the first through the 28th through 31st, depending on the month, not only are you following that and the sort of traditional holy days, Beltane, you know, coming on the 1st of May, but you also know the lunar holy days, the if you're actually following a lunar cycle and stepping away from the Gregorian date cycle, that you note the proper lunation to celebrate the Beltane or Samhain or any of the other holy days of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful to be able to note those holy days and celebrate those on the lunar cycles as well, because the moon pulls on us as much or more as the sun, so a lot of people want to really connect with that cycle of that wonderful body up there in the sky that has such a profound effect on us.
Absolutely. I want to also let folks know that this can be a call-in show, if you make it so. Feel free to join in this discussion this morning with Barb and Lou. I'm speaking with them. They are from the Wee Moon staff, the Mother Tongue, I'm sorry, yes, Mother Tongue Press?
Mother Tongue Inc.
Mother Tongue Inc. Mm-hmm. I knew that. feel free to join us by calling 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I wanted to talk a little bit about the words used in the calendar. You had mentioned that there's write-ups about the different holy days in the, I guess that's more the date book. There are verses that are thrown in throughout the date book on each month of the wall calendar. And I'm looking at May right now, and it's the graphic is you know, just awesome. The Mistress of Solutions by Mira Michelle. Showing, how do I even describe? You know, I'm not so good with the describing of the visual art. But a woman sort of between two, not really corn, are they? No. But between two pillars of flowering rods, she's got a floral arrangement in her hair. Her entire chest is a large rose. Looking at the different cycles of energy, looking at solar power, looking at wind power, looking at, you know, shoots growing up through the dirt, the tidal process and waves, Celtic knotwork, sort of tying it all together. It's really quite lovely. And the thing that strikes me about this month in particular is the verse. And the verse is an excerpt of a poem by Carol Bridges. And it says, "My people are reapers of the waste of humankind, willing to take anything tossed aside and build with it a temple. We'll make a new world out of anything you give us."
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
It's the best.
That is absolutely the spirit of, you know, this show, Positively Revolting, looking at creating our world anew from the wreckage of what is not sustainable and passing away before our eyes. And that's always been the inspiration that I have found with the Wee Moon calendars. So as far as finding inspiration in the work, in creating community through words and pictures, how central has that been to the development of Wee Moon?
It's completely central. The whole concept really is around compiling wonderful and inspiring art and writing by women all over the world. It's giving voice to women who don't always have a place for their work, so it's a great place for any woman to contribute her words or her art, her photos, any of that. So
It's an open submissions process.
It is. It's an open submissions process. You can begin submitting. I think we start in, is it June, Barb, or May?
We usually have the call for contributions out in June.
Mm-hmm. And then all the art comes in September, and we begin our what we call weaving circles in September, which is where we ask women from the community to come together and look over the art and writing and vote on it and, you know, sort of just decide what they like the best. And we have multiple people look at each piece of art and writing. So it's a very thoughtful process. It's a very long process, actually. It takes us a while and many, many weaving circles to gather the really creamy stuff. And we get that together, and we spend October and November and December doing what we call creatrix, which is where we actually put the book together, where we sort of solidify the themes of each moon and, you know, what art and writing is going to go where. And it's a wonderful process. It's actually, I think it's most of our favorite time of the year.
Yeah.
It's the busiest time for sure, but it's definitely
really fun. And so now you're in the midst of that process for the 2012 calendar.
True, yes.
So that's a whole nother way of dealing with time.
It really is. We're always thinking, wow, it's only 2010? What are you talking about?
We've been looking at 2012 for days.
Exactly.
For folks that are just tuning in, I'm Ani. I'm without my co-host Lynn this morning, and sorely missing her, as she is an astrologer. And I know she had all of these. She was all excited, and then realizing that this is corresponding to her great adventure into. I keep wanting to go there, and I'm pulling back. But her big adventure, let's just say, and. You know, so you're just going to have to get the questions from the layman's perspective, as it were. The calendar we'd mentioned, the wall calendar, was sort of a newer development, and it's been around for, I'm guessing, about 10 years now. Is that about right,
Barb?
Yeah, that seems about right. I think 2001 may have been the first wall calendar.
Seems about right, considering the amount of photo collage I have on my walls. That's what I'm guessing it on. And so that was this new development, and now Lou had been telling me that there are new projects for Mother Tongue Inc., like a children's book. It seems a children's book written by Starhawk, The Last Wild Witch. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, written by Starhawk, illustrated by Lindy Kehoe. We published it last year. Starhawk is a friend of Wee Moon, and we completely love her work and respect her, and she's right in line with our nests. And so, you know, we decided to go out on a limb and publish a children's book. It's been wonderful. It's been a great experience. I had to learn a whole bunch about children's publishing and children's book promotion, and it's been very interesting and fun. It's a fantastic book. We actually made a little video for it that's on YouTube. If you YouTube The Last Wild Witch, there's a little promotion video for it. It's really cute. And yeah, it's great, great writing. And Starhawk, I believe, wrote it. She was inspired after reading some really bad children's books where the witch is always the, you know, the bad guy. Yeah. And so she just said, well, that's enough of that. I'm going to write a book where the witch is actually wonderful. And so she set out to do that.
Yahoo.
Yeah.
Changing perspectives, one children's story at a time.
Exactly.
It's a busy time of year, actually, for those of us who do identify as witches to try to give voice to, no, that's actually not my spiritual path. That's a Hollywood gimmick. It's always kind of an interesting time for those of us that are in the goddess-centered spiritual ways.
Yes.
So you also have now, though, you have a poster, you have the anthology coming up.
Yes, we have wonderful things coming in November, actually. Our anthology will be coming out in about mid-November. We actually have it. We're doing pre-sales online now for it, and it's going to be fantastic. And we chose from art from all of the 30 years and writing from all of the 30 years. So there are about 755 pieces of art and writing that have been previously published in Wee Moons throughout the years. And yeah, it's called In the Spirit of Wee Moon, Celebrating 30 Years. And it's going to be really wonderful. So that's coming out in November. We also have an electronic version of Wee Moon coming out for iPhones and Android phones in November as well. And we're thrilled about that.
So, see, really branching into all manner of new ways of getting this information out and around and being resourceful.
Absolutely. It's been nice to sort of, I think the anthology was something Musawa really wanted to put out into the world as she is going into retirement in the next little bit. She's sort of starting that process. And so it was kind of her way of, you know, honoring her life's work. And it's really nice to have something that honors all of that work coming out at the same time as something so modern as the electronic version. It's a new phase for us.
Right. And new phases is really what you're all about. I mean, looking at the phases and seeing the renewal throughout the year, throughout our lives. The themes that We Moon has chosen over the last however many, 30 years, the themes I've always found really inspiring as, ones that stick out in my mind are passages. There was, get me drawing a blank. I should have brought them all down with me. I was like, I could have this towering stack of little date books in front of me. But looking at the deep cycles of the earth, there's been deep ecology is always something that's very center to the writing and to the art that you choose. Can you talk about the tie between the deep ecology and the rest of what's this date book about? And now I'm looking at this and feeling, you know, deep ecology. It's a calendar. How's that connection?
I'm going to let you talk about that, Barb.
Well, we're all about, you know, it's Gaia rhythms, so the rhythms of the earth and how she interacts with the heavens as well. But, you know, the earth as foundation is really our focal point. So pulling in pieces from women around the world and learning about what they're doing in deep ecology and ecofeminism and to empower each other to help heal the earth and really reach deep into the core of their inspirations and share that with us. That's what we're about.
Very nice. And in this year's calendar, in 2011, the theme is groundswell.
Yes.
Can you talk about what that means, what that translates to?
Well, each year we choose the theme based on the major arcana in the tarot deck. And so 2011 was based on the number 11, which in many decks is strength. And you mentioned grassroots, and that's the kind of strength that we were looking at, something to prepare us for who knows what in 2012. So 2011 is about gathering strength. It's about the mycelial growth of our communities rising up from a foundation of knowledge and skills that we are gathering within ourselves and within our communities. So that's where we came up with the theme for 2012.
Is there, I want to ask both of you, is there any particular piece of writing that you find particularly inspirational or like one you want to highlight here this morning to let folks know a little bit more about what you're talking about? And if you don't think of one right away, I have. See, I can always answer the questions I ask just in case we run into trouble. For me, there is this piece called Resurrection in the date book, and it's on towards September of next year is where it lines up. And I'll go ahead and read it quickly. I plucked out my wing feathers. They said I belonged on the ground. I stopped dancing and singing. They said I had no rhythm. I silenced myself. No one was listening. I stitched my eyes shut so I didn't have to see what was happening. I dug my own grave and lay in it so I didn't have to feel the pain. So I could be at peace in the emptiness. There in the pit, I found my bones. In the marrow of my bones, there was strength. In the pulsing of my blood, there was rage. In my flesh, desire. I clawed my way out of that grave, using my strength, rage, and desire. Carefully, I cut away the stitches to see the truth. I whispered my words to myself. I started to sway and hum to my own music. Now I'm gathering feathers.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
I absolutely love that piece. It's by Eileen Rosenstahl. And again, I just find so much inspiration every time I randomly, you know, can flip open to any of these date books. I actually have kept them all. There's an entire shelf in my house. It's like,
you're not alone.
Yeah, I'm sure, right? And I can still run back to those and just grab and flip open. And there's a little bibliomancy that goes on for me. It's like, oh, that is the perfect verse for right now.
Nice.
I don't know if you've heard that from other women, but I'm guessing you probably have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
We only have a few minutes left. What's coming up for Mother Tongue Inc.? What new projects? I mean, we've heard about the iPhone app, which I, you know, as like one of the six people left in Portland without a cell phone, and I think three of them are in the building right now. That blows me away. But what else do you have coming up, looking out over your future?
The anthology, the e-version. What else, Barb?
Well, we're excited about getting that anthology out there into the world and really, getting in touch with more people out there in the world that are maybe not familiar with We Moon. So the e-version is one of the ways that we're wanting to reach out and connect with especially younger generations. You know, We Moon's been around for 30 years, and we are constantly striving to make We Moon pertinent to the world around us. And so connecting with younger groups of people and getting submissions of art and writing from people that are of the younger generations and hearing what they have to say, I think that's one of our goals for the coming few years, is to really do more reaching out and connecting and networking.
Absolutely. And if you're out there and you're an artist or a writer, please send us your work in the summer. It's a great way to get your work into a lot of people's hands. It's wonderful. We make thousands of books that go into the hands of women all over the world. So it's a really nice way to have your voice heard.
Do you consider the calendars a tool for social change?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's inspiration from women everywhere. There's all kinds of women making social change right here in these pages, and it's just so inspiring to read their words, see their art, and to hear what women are doing in the world. It's really wonderful.
Absolutely. I want to let people know at 9:00, you can hear Veterans Voice. The guest is longtime activist and war protester Brian Wilson, not the Beach Boy. Different Brian Wilson, more say my hero Brian Wilson, longtime war protester and activist, now living in Portland, on Veterans Voice at 9:00. At 10:00, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre and Liam Delta. And at 10:15 on Flashpoints, Marjorie Cohen, Ray McGovern, and Andy Worthington all discuss the continued support of torture by the U.S. Marjorie Cohen's been a guest on this show a couple of times in the past, always an informed and informative speaker, so you'll want to stay tuned for Flashpoints. At 11:00, it's Radio Free Ireland with Maura Cullen. So I want to, I guess, look at I can't believe this hour is slipping by so quickly. For summing up, looking at how things have been so rooted in women's culture. And I just wanted to throw out this one question before we get off the air. Women's culture, it's a phrase I find on your website. It's a phrase I use all the time. And I mentioned it yesterday talking to somebody. Oh, what's We Moon about? What's a celebration of women's culture around the world? And they looked at me and said, well, what's women's culture? And I thought, well, there's something I don't really define. I know it. Uh-huh. But I don't define it much. And I just wanted to sort of end with that, with you explaining what you mean exactly by celebrating the women's culture.
I'll let you talk, Barb, but there was a little piece from our theme page that I thought would be appropriate for talking about that.
Okay. Well, women's culture is sometimes hard to define, but being in a space like inside of the We Moon Date Book is for so many folks a unique experience, because we oftentimes don't get to voice the women's perspective in a space that has as much access as we do in the mainstream culture. So just giving the women a space to express themselves with a woman's voice solely is unique for so many people.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Barb. And thank you, Lou, for joining us. If people are interested in finding out more, you can check out the website, wemoon.ws. It's a new suffix. WeMoon.ws. You can also follow WeMoon on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes. And we're actually going to have a blog coming out soon. I forgot about that. So
all right.
Keep your eyes out for that.
Lou, Barb, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It was a wonderful experience.